Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and today is a live Prophecy Reality edition. We come here once a week, every Wednesday morning. So if you're listening on a Wednesday morning and you're able to come over to the chat room at firstamendmentradio.com or .net, come on over and join the conversation. Okay, what are we going to talk about today? Well, we've got a lot on our plate. We're going to talk about the Great Reset, the coming Mark of the Beast, of course. This is, let's see, what day is this in our countdown? Uh-oh, looks like I closed that window, but I can open it back up here. I think it's day number 328 in our 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast. That's what it is, day number 328. So almost a year ago, 328 days ago, they started the lockdown. That's right. And they said 2 weeks or to flatten the curve. And I thought, well, maybe there's something to this. And, I think we could take a two-week vacation, you know, stay home, only go to the grocery store for and get the necessities of life to flatten the curve. That way we can get back to normal. How many of you fell for it? Well, I'm not sure I fell for it, but I wasn't against it. I mean, I didn't really know, though there were some that knew. I thought, well, I'll go along with it for 2 weeks. No problem, because nothing changed in my life. I don't go to work since I work from home. It really hasn't changed my life. It just made going out much more egregious for me, because everywhere you go, you have to view the zombie apocalypse, you know, the new dystopia that they introduced 328 days ago. And I don't like it at all. And I don't like it even more now, because people should be awake by now knowing that actually there have been not enough more deaths in this year than there was last year, the year before that, to call anything a pandemic. You see, a pandemic is where you have people dying in unusually high numbers from something that is not normal, okay? So now they're trying to call what is normal a pandemic, and it's all been exposed in my eyes for what it really is. It's the Antichrist in his shadow government, and yeah, conspiracy. There, you know, if you are a true Bible-believing Christian, you believe in conspiracy, because the Bible exposes conspiracy. Throughout all of history, there's been conspiracy. We've watched it in history in America. The Antichrist and his cohorts worming their way into the American government from the beginning. You know, read F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil, and you'll know all about it. And by the way, you can find a link to that book on my Bible Studies tab at my website, so make sure you check it out. It'll be there in a list of resources, and I think it's a very important book for anyone who wants to know what's going on to read. Well, today I thought I'd talk about what year is it, and also to revisit a page, deagle.com, that's DEAGEL. Deagle.com. Some people say Deagle, but it's spelled like angel, not beagle. So I'm calling it what it's spelled like, Deagle. And I guess the only way we know, since proper nouns don't have to be properly phonetically spelled the way they're written, we'd have to find whoever named it and ask them what they meant. But anyway, Deagle.com, or DEAGEL.com. So check that out. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. But I thought I'd start by looking at a scripture And let's look at our scripture for today. That's Psalm 90, starting at verse 4. Let me see if I can actually put this on the screen. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Okay, there we go. About verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth, it groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Yes, if you're a wise man, you fear God, you'd be troubled by the wrath of God. Well, the wicked will, if they're not troubled today, they will one day be troubled. But enough of my commentary. Let's continue. Verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before us, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto thy children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Fitting words for the day we live in, and especially when you get about my age, all those words seem to make a lot of sense. Yes, we need to see what we are and understand and have no illusions about who we are before God Almighty, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, that we may receive His mercy, that He, you know, might make us glad and establish the work of our hands. Yes, amen. Okay. Well, what year is it? Go to my website there at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and you can see that post there. What year is it? I haven't talked about, really gone into any depth in it, and I'm not going to really go into depth today on it. As soon as I can find the tab where it is, I guess I must have closed that tab again. Oh, there it is. Yes, in my browser. And the first thing you'll see is this summary chart that's right behind me right there now. And I guess, can I stop that? No, it doesn't. Filters, properties. Yeah, okay, last week it worked. I could stop and go back. No source. Oh, I have to select the source. Okay, oh, I think there's how I do it. Okay, can I pause it there? Yeah, look at that. I can pause it. But this is our summary chart. And I have this post on my website called What Year Is It? And you'll find out how I filled in this chart from the Bible, this top portion up here, if I can point to it, the top portion up there. That's the Bible-derived era. That's what it says up there. Let me put it on the screen full size there for you, for those of you that are watching this anyway. And you can see we have the Genesis creation, and we have the genealogies from Adam to Isaac. We get that in the Bible itself. it's 2,049 years. And then we go from Isaac to the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. You read about that. You heard about that in the Bible, didn't you? And they crossed the Red Sea, and the Pharaoh chased them in his chariots, and they all got drowned in the Red Sea. Yeah, that exodus. So we add another 400 years for that, from Isaac to the exodus. And then from there, from the exodus to 1 Kings 6:1, and that was the fourth year of Solomon's reign. It's enumerated in the scripture. It says it was it explicitly states 480 years from the exodus to the fourth year of Solomon's reign at 1 Kings 6:1, where it's recorded there. And then we go from the first year of Solomon's reign, and we read this from the reign of the kings in Judah to the desolation of Israel. And from that chronology there, it's like the genealogy, but it's a chronology of the reigns of the kings of Judah. And that was 430 years. See, we keep adding all these years up from Adam at day six on creation, okay? Because it's Adam to Isaac. And we get to the desolation of Jerusalem when the Babylonians came in, destroyed the city and the temple and the nation and dispersed it for 70 years. Okay, from then we go from desolation to decree. We'll talk about that decree. This is something that I've done different than everyone else has put together a chronology from the Bible era. I've done this differently. I use the Daniel 70 weeks prophecy, the 70 weeks of years. So what we have in here is we have the 70 years desolation period. And then after the temple was built, the desolation was decreed over, and the Israelites, or the Hebrew nation people, started to return to their land, those ones that would return under Cyrus, okay? And then it was 58 years after that that the decree went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And the scripture said it would be 69 weeks of years, so 69 times 7, 483 years to Messiah the prince, okay? So that was 70 plus 58 to the decree. And then we go from there 483 years unto the Messiah the prince, or the Jordan River baptism of Jesus. And it takes us right there, and then we can say 3.5 years later, we have the cross, and then 3.5 years after that, the time determined for Israel came to an end, and then the desolation followed 40 years after the cross. Okay? And this is our Bible-derived era up here at the top. Okay, I don't think you can see my mouse. But anyway, that's the Bible-derived era at the top. Okay, so I drop down here to the Roman era, because the Bible doesn't give us any more calendar or genealogy. The whole purpose of the genealogy and the chronology that's expressed in the Old Testament to us is to bring us to the Messiah, to Jesus, to bring Israel and all those to the promised Messiah, who is promised in chapter 3. You could read about the seed of the woman, the prophecy by the great high priest himself to Adam and Eve there when he clothed them with the animal skins at chapter 3, about verse 15 of the book of Genesis. So that's the reason that we have a complete chronology in the Old Testament up to Jesus, to bring us to the Messiah, a complete genealogy, and I believe a complete timeline. I vetted this for many years, and about 2013, there being no more objections to this timeline, and I could find nothing else to overthrow it, pretty much accepted it. This is pretty much it. So we start there in the Roman era with the birth of Jesus at 4 BCE or BC, whichever way you like to go on that, whichever way you roll on that, right? But anyway, we see that Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry at the Jordan River baptism. Luke records his age there for us, that Jesus was in his 30th year. 3.5 years later, in the midst of the week, he was cut off, but not for himself, but for the people. He put an end to the sacrifice and oblation by the sacrifice of himself in the midst of the week. 3.5 years later, the 70 weeks ended, and the time determined as Israel, as a set-apart nation to God, came to its end. And then the set-apart nation became a supranational nation, or the church, because Jesus said, I will build my church. He began building his church here, okay, but it became supranational at the end. And it's a peculiar thing, is that's the time that the Holy Spirit also fell on the believing Gentiles. And the Jewish brethren who had received it at Pentecost, the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, they marveled. Now, even the Gentiles receive the Holy Ghost. You could read all about it there in the, yourself. So that's how we get that timeline up to this point. And then we start using the Roman years from then, because that's all we have. And we get to the seventh millennium, about 2055 here at the end. You see at the end at the bottom. I don't know how, I can't point to it because that's the way this thing works. But, and you can see there, I have right under where it says Roman era, well, I have 2015 CE, common era, equals 5960. And that's when I made this chart here, or at least last edited it. I guess now I would have to say 2021, well, equals, and just add six more years to that, 5966, meaning that the year 5999, 6000, which is the beginning of the seventh millennium, will occur about the year 2055. Now doesn't really make me happy to be right about this. I wish I was wrong, and I wish it was sooner. I mean, if I was doing this in my own power, I would want it next year. You know, I would want Christ to come back next year, because I mean, it's doubtful that I could live long enough to live to 2055. It's doubtful, because most people don't live that long. And I could, or maybe not. But seeing the way things are going, well, it would almost be a blessing to go home sooner. Because to be absent from the body is to go to the resurrection of the dead. You know, we talked about yesterday, is like 1,000 years to the Lord. It's like a day. It's nothing. It's nothing to Him. I believe. You know, we don't go to an amillennial intermediate state when we die, because, you know, that's a total fabrication. I mean, you can build that upon conjecture, but there's nothing explicit in the scripture that says that. You know, Bible does say that when we, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Also says that when we see Him, we will be like Him. So there's no ethereal, intermediate, spiritual state, you know, amillennial intermediate state where we haven't been resurrected yet. Because if we see Him and we're going to be like Him when we see Him, then we have to be fully resurrected. Now, I did read the part in the Bible where it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And that's the resurrection, okay? That's where bodily resurrection happens. So that's where I'm going immediately, no matter what year I die. Okay, I'm going immediately to the resurrection, because remember, time is nothing to God. We started out one, you know, with a scripture that basically says that. Time, don't worry about it. You ain't going to be twiddling your thumbs in the grave during soul sleep, as some posit. You're not going to go to the intermediate amillennial state where you're a disembodied spirit with Jesus ruling over those people on earth. You know, I mean, is that what these guys been doing that died in the first century? Is that what they've been doing all this time? ruling with Jesus? No, we're all going and we're all meeting up at the same time at the resurrection of the dead. And then those few that are alive and remain in about 2055, 2054, I don't know, around there somewhere. I'm not saying I know the exact year, but I might be right, you know. Those guys were looking for Jesus when he appeared the first time. You know, you had Andrew goes to his brother Simon, who was renamed Peter. He says, "We have found the Messiah." Yeah, that was after he saw him at the Jordan River baptism. And of course, you know, those guys, they went and they followed Jesus. Yeah, they dropped everything. They left their fishing nets behind and everything, and they went and followed him around for 3.5 years. So and after that, they went back to their nets, and Jesus caught him on the shore after he rose from the dead, and he cooked some fish for him. You'd read about that scene in the Gospels. So that's what we have going on here. So we know we don't have very long, no matter how old you are. But we see that prophecy is fulfilling. Now, the world has plans for you. The Antichrist has plans for you. And he's revealed them all over the place. So I was looking at this Deejil.com website here. Let me see. I think I can put this on the screen here. Ah, there it is there. And put that on the screen there. Let's see if I can adjust the size here. Okay. And they have this list of countries on, if you go to the tab list of countries or something up there, if you go to Deejil.com, you'll find a list of countries, 2019. And over here it says forecast for 2025. Very interesting. Okay, let me preface this for you, okay? Let me see if I can fix this. Come on, producer, get with it. there we go. Yeah. So let me preface this anyway. You'll see there's a forecast button here. And if we switch to the forecast, okay, we find out that who puts this website up, we don't know. It's a mystery. But this is for people in the know. But the interesting thing is, that they have a, if you look at the top here, you'll see this is population in millions here. Okay, I guess that does show a population in millions. And you have these other things here. What is this? Gross domestic product, defense budget in billions. And this one here is purchasing power parity in dollars. Okay, you can look up all that. But I was really, the population thing here is the first column, and this is in millions. You'll see China's population is going to be down from what was previously 1.39 million, and it's going to be down by 2025 to 1.3 billion. Anyway, we're going to go to a break, and we'll pick up back here and get to the point in the next segment. So you're listening Across the Border. This is Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today. so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're talking about a website called Dejol.com. And we were looking at the projected forecast that they have for 2025. And their forecast has changed. I don't remember what it was, but it pretty much showed something very similar before they updated it in 2019. Okay, and what they have forecasted is for the population of the United States of America to go down by 70%, meaning 70% of the people that are living now, or we're living in 2019, so it hasn't happened yet, will be dead by 2025. Now, you think, why would anybody predict this or even want this? And who would want this? Because I know you got other people out there speculating that, you know, that who put this up and that it's China and all this stuff. But I know this smacks to me of the Antichrist and his shadow government, the Jesuits. This is their work. And why would this guy here, you notice what he's holding in his hands, right? And gleefully enjoying what he has in his hands. And for those of you listening, We have a picture of the man who sits in the seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin. He's holding a hammer and sickle, crucifix, with Jesus crucified on it. Okay? And it's quite a picture. You may have seen it on the internet. But anyway, and very delighted about it, because this is a tool of the Antichrist. This is a tool of Satan and his minions in the earth. Okay? This is part of the great conspiracy that the evil one has cooked up. Of course, we know, all of us that belong to the Lord God Almighty, all of us that are his, we know that God has everything in his hand. And I hope and I pray that this 99 million, the America being down, going down 70% in its population, which is presently about 333 million, down to 99 million, that's a drop of 70% of our population. They're projecting that between now and 2025, that 70% or 230 million people are going to die in America. And that will be our new population, will be less than 100 million. That's their projection. Now, who would delight in a projection like this? Well, I know who would. The Antichrist. Because America has historically, since its founding, been the bastion of freedom and liberty in the world. And even though the Antichrist has got in here, he hasn't been able to totally overthrow it. But he's at that point now. And he has the whole land under a great delusion. One, for many, many years, he's hidden himself and he's obscured his identity by teaching people to believe in an end-time Antichrist who only shows up for a brief period of 7 years immediately before Jesus returns. And also, along with that false prophecy comes the rapture of all true believers, because before he's going to be revealed and impose his will upon the entire earth and require everyone to receive a mark or the number of his name or some kind of allegiance to him, somehow to be marked and identified with your allegiance being to the Antichrist or the beast or the image of the beast, any one of those, he doesn't care. They're all his. Okay, they're all part of his cabal, his allegiance that he wants the whole world under. He doesn't care which one. You have those that worship the beast. Remember, it's the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, the three frog-like spirits that are let loose in the earth. Of course, the dragon is satanic worship. It's the worship of Satan and everything pagan. That's what it represents. And then, of course, the beast is those that worship the government of men. Because they don't, of course, they don't believe in God, right? Although they use the name of God in vain at all times. They use the name of his son in vain at all times. But they hate everything having to do with him, his righteousness, his church, his people. And they believe in evolution, of course, because that frees them from their sin and their guilt and judgment to come, they believe. So they worship the beast because the beast gives them license to do that which was what would otherwise be unlawful, or which the word of God calls unlawful. So adultery, fornication, homosexuality, you name it, covetousness, all of the things that you can legally do if you follow the rules of the beast. Okay? So they worship the beast because the beast gives them license. It's called licentiousness. So they worship the state. God is not the highest lawgiver to them. The state is the highest lawgiver because there is no higher lawgiver to them. We're just all accidents of nature and evolution. Therefore, man is God, and therefore the highest form of government or authority with man is, of course, government. And that's why they worship the beast, and they love communism, and they love totalitarianism, because they've been programmed by the beast and his shadow government army that has taken over the news, mainstream news, and the public education and seminary education, and all of the your higher learning institutions are now governed by him. Uh-oh. Let's see. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air. Yeah, that's what I thought. Must be hitting a nerve there somewhere. See, can I turn the ringer off on this thing? It's bothering me. I haven't figured out how to turn the ringer off yet. It's probably in the menu somewhere. But anyway. Oh. Yeah, that's not, yeah, I'm just being harassed now. You know, if somebody doesn't like what I'm saying, that they have to harass me? Huh. You know, you don't have to agree with me. You can think I'm totally wrong. Just go do something else. You know, find something else to do. People here who want to learn how to interpret the Bible and what the Bible really says. So anyway, they have plans for America. Satan, the man of sin, the Antichrist, his shadow government. Man, America has been a big thorn in their side. At the same time, been very useful because they've been enriched by America. And they tried for 100 years, more than 100 years, to get their bank. Yeah, their bankers, the Vatican bankers, into America. And they got a Federal Reserve coup of the U.S. Treasury about 1913. And at that time, the fix was in then. Oh, yeah. You read the other post on my website there at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. It's called The Empire of the City, The Unholy Trinity That Rules the World. A few more clues there for if you want to know what's going on. But all I can say now, the question is how in the next 4 years, 4 to 5 years, how does the Antichrist and his shadow government intend to reduce the population of the United States of America to a mere 99 million. It's going on right now. Their plan is in full effect, and it's been going on for 328 days. And I call it this is the final decade before their 2030 agenda. The 2030 agenda of the image of the beast, which is the United Nations. They created in the New World by the Earth Beast in the New World is an image to the Sea Beast of Revelation. Of course, we're referencing Revelation chapter 13 now. There's two beasts that appear in Revelation chapter 13. The one is ancient, okay? Been around for, you know, several thousand years, practically speaking. Yeah, several thousand years. Okay, been around that long, that ancient beast. Okay, and of course the Antichrist, the man of sin, ruled that kingdom for 1260 years. The Bible says, and everyone will marvel when they see the beast that was the 1260 year reign, is not, yet is. So you have this beast ruling in secret, but vicariously ruling through the image of the beast, which you, if you worship the image or the beast or the man of sin, the Antichrist, then, yeah, you'll join him in the lake of fire. You'll be lost forever. So, you know, nothing is more important than getting right with Christ and receiving the gospel message and repenting. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says. So how does the Antichrist and his minions intend to reduce the population of America? Well, like I said, I believe they're doing it now, and I believe it's through injection. It's a lie. The vaccine that's called a vaccine, but it's not a vaccine. It's something else. It's something new entirely. It is actually gene therapy. and the gene therapy, they've already warned women that are pregnant, or if you want to get pregnant, okay, don't take the vaccine. But then they're administering it to pregnant women. And they want to give it to children. And it's killed, the death toll is about 400 now. You know, if that many people died in the first 3 months of COVID, you know, they locked down the world for that. But here, these 400 people have died, and there have been over 10,000 adverse reactions to the jab so far, and probably underreported. And what is the long-term effect of this experiment going to be? Because this is all experimental gene therapy. It's never been done before. As a matter of fact, they had to get a waiver from the FDA so that it wouldn't have to go through the normal testing because of the pandemic and people were dying and falling dead in the streets everywhere and we had to do something. But wait. No more people have died in the last year. There is no pandemic. It's all a farce. And then, of course, they stole the election. I'm not very happy with, you know, I'm less happy with the present, coup president. Call him if we have a presidential coup, because I believe that people overwhelmingly voted for Trump. I wasn't very happy with him because he went along with this warp speed nonsense to start this vaccination that they plan on using to kill, to reduce the population of the most hated nation to the Antichrist on the face of the planet. But look how much control they have gained over this nation in the last 100 years, since its founding, really. So much so that people are like sheep capitulating to the dystopia, despite the fact that it is obviously all they have to do is research a little bit. All of the information is at their fingertips. And they know that there is no panic-demic. It's a panic. It's a pandemic of panic. And if the seasonal flu is a pandemic, then we've had a pandemic every year ever since the beginning of time. So I warn you, you know, all of God's people, not to take this. China's the boogeyman. Another program is out there throwing out because they have a certain bent against the Jewish people, and the Jews are just another lost nation, as far as I'm concerned. Another group of lost people, but in that group of lost people, like every nation on earth, God has a handful. He has a remnant in every nation. And all I can say to the remnant in America is don't take the jab. But eventually they're going to try to force it on us. But right now they're working on excluding you. And all of this mask wearing and stuff, that's just all just conditioning you. Well, you can see why I'm going to get thrown off of the mainstream platforms out there soon enough. No, they've already deleted some of my videos and stuff, but yeah. And then we can move to the other platforms. But by 2030, you won't be able to get on the internet at all without a real-time genetic Mark of the Beast, some type of scannable biometric identification to allow you on, you know, the world's internet system. I've been learning about being excluded because I felt like God 25 years ago called me to walk away from the socialist system in America. Yeah, the socialist security system. To not participate even in the numbering of it, or anything that was tied to the number, because it is a number of a beast. Is it the mark of the beast? Well, I believe that it is at least a precursor, something that is that has evolved and will continue to evolve into that final form of the mark of the beast, which they want by 2030. Just look up 2030, UN 2030 agenda, and then you'll understand why they pushed this panic-demic on us 328 days ago. They planned it several years before that. They've been planning and scheming for decades. Will China come in and populate America? As Rick Wiles says on True News, because China's his boogeyman. Well, China's not my boogeyman. China is just totally controlled by the Antichrist and his shadow government. That's why you have totalitarian. And here we have the picture again. There's the man of sin with his credo in his hand. That is right. That's the Catholic Jesus nailed to the hammer and sickle. And he would like to do that to the entire world. He wants you nailed to his hammer and sickle. Yeah, he's responsible for Pol Pot, Lenin, Stalin. He's responsible for Hitler. Yeah, he's the one. And if you look into the history, the information is out there for you. All you got to do is listen to First Amendment Radio day in and day out. You wonder why we're so small and shadow banned. Because the Antichrist really does rule the world, and he is alive and well, and he hates America. He hates the idea that we are able to do and say the things that we are able to say and do here at First Amendment Radio, and any true protesting church, any true Protestant church, because there's nothing his shadow government hates more than true Bible-believing Protestantism, those that protest against the Antichrist and his great apostasy. The greatest apostasy that ever rose up in history is still here alive, and it is still the greatest today. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read about the great apostasy and the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, that is, in the church. Because that's what the temple of God is. That's what Paul told us, that know you not that you are the temple of God. So then if Paul goes on to say that the man of sin, the Antichrist, will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, in conjunction with the great apostasy, 2 billion plus strong today. Is there are a lot of apostasies out there, even in so-called nominal Protestant church, meaning in name only. There are a lot of apostates, but there's only one great apostasy. It isn't something that's going to rise up in the last 7 years after the church has been raptured away for the final 70th week of Daniel. No, sorry, the 70th week actually followed the 69th week. There's no gap in there anywhere. I put out a challenge, you know what, 12, 15 years ago, show me the gap, Chuck. Because Chuck Misler was one of the big wigs of the gap movement and, putting in dispensationalism. Oh, Chuck never responded. It's better to leave that one alone, because otherwise people might begin to catch on. So here we are in the last 10 years of the Great Reset. Yeah, they want it by 2030. That's what Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and Davos and all of this in the UN, that's what it's all going toward. What the scripture says would happen. It said that at the end, the beast that was and is not yet is, okay, would rise up with his man, the man of sin, the Antichrist, and rule the world and control the money to such a point that everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, would be required to have a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, or worship the beast or his image, or have his mark or his number or the number of his name. That means there's a variety of ways to be marked. That's what I get from all of that I read in Revelation chapter 13, that there are a variety of ways to be marked and participate. It isn't all going to be, a chip. It could be this. It could be your smartphone. A lot of people are using their smartphones now to pay. You could enter your number in a web browser. You could give your number verbally. Yeah, you could put your information, tap it into a keyboard. It doesn't matter, just so you're part of it. That's all he wants. He wants your allegiance. He wants you to lie. He wants you to pretend like there is a pandemic right now. Because if he can get you to pretend that something is that is not, are you not participating in a lie? At least, you know, I go to the store and I carry a bandana with me. But I'm not going to put that bandana on. I'm not going to pretend that something's going on. And they say, well, you can't shop here unless you have a face covering mask on. Where's your mask? You can't shop here. So I'll put my bandana on. I'll put it, you know, I usually put it under my lip. They don't say anything, okay. But then I protest. I say, you know, there is no pandemic. It's all a lie because it is. And I don't want to participate in the lie because it makes me a liar. But that's all he wants. He just wants you to capitulate. Because if he can get you to capitulate, and that's why I hate the zombie apocalypse out here, the what they call the new normal. I call it the post-apocalyptic dystopia, and I don't like it at all. But I realize it's not going back to normal until they get most of the world to capitulate and actually participate in their one world Mark of the Beast monetary system. And you know what? If you don't participate, guess what they're going to do? You got your digits in their bank, in their digital bank accounts, don't you? Well, they'll just cut you off. Oh, you want your money? You know, all these billionaires out there, millionaires, people with hundreds of thousands of dollars in their accounts, what will they trade their soul to have at those digits? Yeah. Well, unfortunately, most of them will. Many of them have. Many of them, no question at all. Well, whatever. Just give me my money. Yes, I worship the beast, its image, yes. Or the Antichrist directly, yeah. Yes, because you can pick it and choose it. What do you like? What are you more comfortable with worshiping? You know, the dragon, yeah, you know, Satan himself, or the beast, you know, government. Make it your God. It'll give you license to sin, yeah. To disobey God's law, yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. We're going to take a short break here and have some news, but we will return. So make sure you come back. I'll see you in a few minutes.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Austin Pugh. President Biden continues to announce executive orders and actions, the latest focused on immigration. Indiana Republican Congressman Jim Banks warns those orders and actions are putting national security at risk.
The actions by the Biden administration yesterday will return us to the years of Obama and Bush, where we had floods of illegals coming across the border. We can't afford that in America. We need to take a stronger look at what worked during the Trump administration and not make the mistakes that the Biden administration appears that they're going to make from the outset.
The House moves forward with a resolution to fine members who bypass the metal detectors.
Lawmakers who bypass new metal detectors outside the House chamber will now face a $5,000 fine. That's for a first offense. Fines could escalate to $10,000 if they do it again. Democratic Congressman Jim McGovern says the detectors are new, but the rules are not.
President Lyndon Johnson signed a law outlawing weapons on Capitol grounds back in 1967.
The fines were put into place after several Republicans went around the detectors, claiming the screenings violate their constitutional rights. Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
A substantial uptick in student suicides has prompted the nation's fifth largest school district to start bringing children back to the classroom as soon as possible. Stephanie Bennett has the story.
Getting back to school.
The Clark County School District, which serves Las Vegas and other neighboring cities, has been learning remotely since the pandemic began in March. But since then, they've noticed a spike in student suicides, with 19 in the last 10 months. That's double the number compared to 2019. So now Superintendent Jesus Jara says they're expediting their plans to bring kids back into the classroom.
I think it'll make a huge difference, not just for the kids, for the adults.
They sent out surveys asking parents if they prefer remote learning or a hybrid model. Ultimately, it'll be up to the parents to decide. The district's limited reopening plan was approved by its board of trustees, but the timeline is still being finalized. So far, they'll start with pre-K through third grade and work their way up.
It'll be extremely beneficial. I mean, from what I get emails from kids, find a way to get our schools open, you know, and I think that's the social interaction, the classroom conversations.
The district currently offers 24/7 mental health support. If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. Getting back to school, Stephanie Bennett, Fox News.
With the lengthy and troublesome school lockdowns, it's not surprising that frustrated parents have turned to homeschooling in record numbers.
Mike Donnelly of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association reports the number of parents homeschooling has tripled from 2 million to 6 million students in the last year. And he says there are other factors besides the virus contributing to the growth.
Concerns about, how Zoom school and remote school actually works, which is to say that it doesn't work very well for learning, is a major driving factor.
Donnelly says the Biden administration's opposition to school choice shouldn't be an obstacle for homeschool families.
Homeschooling is controlled at the state level, and so the federal government really doesn't have a lot of opportunity to affect it. They can affect other schools, though, that receive money, which is one reason why HSLDA opposes government funding in private and home education.
Donnelly expects continued growth this year, but at a slower rate. He said a major question is how many families will stick with homeschooling if and when things go back to normal. I'm Bob Kellogg.
The Northeast is dealing with a lot of snow and flooding today as more cold weather could be on the way. Tanya J. Powers has the latest.
The winter storm that hit the Northeast this week has left many people digging out of snow and some areas, like the coast of Massachusetts, dealing with flooding on top of it. Stan Sachs lives on Plum Island and says he's never seen it this bad.
The fence has been torn down. There's about 3-4 inches of water and sand and mud in the entire basement of or first level of the house.
Powerful waves took the siding off his home. The storm left parts of New Jersey and Pennsylvania with more than 30 inches of snow. And there's another round of frigid temperatures expected this weekend and heading into next week. In New York, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com and on the One News Now mobile app. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Thank you.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And we're talking about the Great Reset, the 2030 agenda, or the rise of the Antichrist in his final form, and the beast that was and is not yet is, who rules the world vicariously, as he would want to do, vicariously through the image of the beast and a shadow government that has infiltrated every nation on earth. And the more totalitarian the government of that earth, the more you see the footsteps of the Antichrist and his shadow government there. And America, sadly, has fallen, finally. We still have light left. They're doing this 10-year push to the 2030 agenda, or I call it the March to the Mark of the Beast, the 2030 March to the Mark of the Beast, because that's what he wants. He wants the whole world under his thumb. He wants to rule it all. And that is Satan through his government and through his man of sin and his great apostasy. He'll take it any way he can get it. Anything but true Bible-believing Christianity. Yeah, he's all for anything. Anything except that. He can get behind it. Okay, let's see. I thank the people in the chat room for showing up, all of you listening to the broadcast now. If you have any comments or questions, I'd be glad to take some questions, comments in the chat room there at firstamendmentradio.net. Just click on the chat button and come on in there. Combine this with nanometals. Mankind, people in general, still in denial. A final man-made electromagnetic scalar weapon, directed energy weapon system beams. Well, I don't know much about all of that, Jesuit Fina. I have to give you your own hour, man. Yeah. And come on and do a presentation for us someday. But if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. I'm sorry, that's taken out of context. That was for the era that was called Jacob's Trouble, from the crucifixion of Christ to 70 AD. The elect needed to survive to spread the gospel, to take it worldwide. That's why he said, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days would be shortened. God's not going to, he's coming when he's coming. He's not cutting anything short here, because he even foretells that many will lay down their lives for refusing, rejecting, or withdrawing from the mark of the beast. Not cutting anything short, because we're going to the resurrection. We don't need to survive, okay? It doesn't need to be shortened for the sake of the elect, the persecution that's coming, like it did back then, because we don't need to survive, because we will all be resurrected when he comes. So that's, and in context, go to my website there. You'll see at the top of my website, let's see, what will you see at the top? Oh yeah, Matthew chapter 24, exposed, or explained. And I explain all that because that's part of the Matthew chapter 24 prophecy. So yeah, and you'll find the context for that and what I've just outlined to you briefly here in that at the Olivet Discourse. But so make sure you check that out there. Who was I talking to? Oh, a Jesuit fiend, yeah, in the chat room. Yeah, so, you know, that's like hoping for a rapture escape kind of thing, too, you know. No, dark days are coming. It is still, there's still light. There's still day. But the night is coming. Yeah, I think the night's coming when the only thing we'll be able to do is to lay down our lives. Like many, you know, like hundreds of millions of true Bible-believing, true protesting Christians did. beginning with the Vaudois, the Albigenses, the Waldenses, and the Reformation, our Reformation fathers of the early Reformation Church, all laid down their lives for the gospel. That's right, for the truth, in protest of the Antichrist, the biblical and historical Antichrist. And that's what we're going to be called to do again. So if you're not willing to lay down your life, then you're not worthy of Christ. And how are you going to be willing to lay down your life unless you feed on the Word of God and you do the will? Because Jesus said, remember, he said, my food, my bread is to do the will of him who sent me. So unless God is sustaining you, then you will fail. Yeah, many have failed, but then recanted of their failure and later laid down their lives. So God is very merciful. Yeah, we can repent at any time, but we have to be willing. And, you know, I've steeped myself in history, and especially the history of the church, of the protesting church, and read of the many hundreds of millions of martyrs that laid down their lives in history, especially during the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist in history. Because that's his mark. You know, I've been going over to, Hugh says, I'm in a Bible study group and it's so frustrating having some members be preterists, some members be rapturists, and then there is me. I know what you mean, man. They look at me like I'm speaking a different language. Does that happen to you? Absolutely. It's like, you know, I can get no traction where I'm living. Very few. Yeah. Most people that I know where I live, none of them believe what I'm saying. And very few are even willing to take a look. They don't want to give up their comfort, Hugh. They don't want to give it up. It's very comfortable for them to think, I don't have to worry about the mark of the beast. I don't have to worry about being martyred for Christ because I'm going to be raptured away. They bought into that great delusional lie of, counter-reformation, Jesuit eschatology. Yeah, that happens to me, man. So, but hey, we still have to keep on. Some of those, you know, because there's a lot of people that are right with Christ, but they're wrong in their eschatology because they've been programmed. The shadow government of the Jesuits have been very, very successful in infiltrating everything from the public schools to the seminaries. Yeah, where your pastor was trained in Jesuit eschatology, counter Reformation eschatology. They declare the protest is over. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's trying to nail us all to the hammer and sickle, because then he's got us. You know, you'll notice the only church over there, the only church over there in China that's still in existence, that is going along, yeah, is that one church. All the other ones are underground. All the ones that truly want to follow Jesus and follow the Bible. So there's your sign. Who's really in control in China? Yeah. And all of the Chinese, they know how to control populations. They have 1.4 billion people, man. You think what they're doing, the PSYOP they're doing over here on you know, two-thirds of the population of America? I think it's that big. Yeah. They those people willing to walk like zombies, get a mask, line up for the jab. Well, it seems fewer of them are ready to line up for the jab than simply wear a mask. So if I had to get the jab to get into the store, see, that's where it's going. Unless I get the mark, because everyone, you know, is it going to be the Lucifer Taze tattoo immunization? Yeah, because they're going to give it to you all at once. The Lucifer Taze tattoo inoculation. Mm-hmm. Because you think that guy who developed that, who's developing that, who's spending all that money to work on this, gene therapy jab, You think he really cares, wants you to live? Oh, no. He wants to reduce the population of the Earth to 10% of what it is now. That's his goal. Yeah, he thinks that would be perfect. He wants to put himself in the seat of God to decide what could be perfect. Well, we have plenty of land here. We're not running out of land or resources. And, you know, America proves that. We've had plenty to give to the rest of the world. All we need is liberty and free enterprise. And look what we've done. Yeah, and then what we've allowed by our blindness, by the blindness of this nation, we've allowed to empower the man of sin and the machinations of his master, Satan. Yeah. But I read the end of the book, and I know Jesus is returning. And we will see. Yeah, we will see. We will see. 100 plus years ago, people remained vigilant to the sons of Satan, the Jesuit diabolical fiends. We would not be in this grave position that we are now. Yeah, it's all foretold, you know. This is the time of sorting them out before Christ returns. Yeah, they're all being sorted out. They're all choosing sides. That's why it's become so clear in the last 10 years who's on the side of death and who's on the side of life. And it becomes clearer every day. You know, we have this divide in the American beast, you know, between those that love liberty and truth and those that love the dragon and the dragon speak. Yeah, they love the lies. The divide has become so clear. See, but here's the problem is, you know, people that love the truth, they aren't willing to cheat, to lie, to steal, to kill and murder. But those that love the lie and that are on Satan's side, they love to do all those things. Not a problem. As long as they can get away with it. And the more control they get, the more they get away with it. Obviously, they can steal election in plain sight and get away with it. That means they have more control. Yeah. So the more control they get, the more they can get away with, and the more they will get away with. And then it goes back to history. I've seen it done in history. I've read about it. You know, I've shared it with all of you during my regular broadcasts the other 4 days of the week with history. And we'll be getting back to that as soon as I'm running the book of Proverbs right now during the week. But we will jump back into Christian history, the history of Protestantism from James A. Wiley. That narration, we'll be bringing that back with the Waldensians, where we left off, when I left off. But I'm recording those right now so that we will have those. Okay. Yeah, people have no earthly idea the advanced technologies the Jesuits possess. Well, they possess everything. They own it all. Money. Because they own the money. And money answers all things. And that's why they're going to do away with cash. I will be working in the black market. Maybe I'll have some silver coins. Can't afford, you know, much in the way of gold, but, you know, I have some silver coins and, you know, maybe that'll get me by for a while, but I'm going to be relying on, you know, the Almighty. And if I have to be martyred, well, then so be it. I think I'd rather be martyred than die an old man quietly in my bed or suffer the last few years of my life from ill health or whatever, because, you know, I'm getting there now. my 70 and 10, we read about that in Psalm 90 at the beginning of the broadcast. But my 70 and 10 is coming up here pretty quick. Everything after that is just due to strength. That's what the scripture says. So, you know, I could stick around. I'm not sure I want to live to be 100 and in a, you know, decaying flesh estate. And I don't think I'll have to do that now that I see what's going on the earth. You know, I would like to be accounted worthy to lay down my life for Christ rather than fade away slowly of old age and, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Because that would be fast if I could die in a couple days, you know, or whatever, or however they're going to do it. Some people, they're going to set up guillotines. They did everything. Most terrible things I read about, and you go, oh, man, please don't let that happen to me. But a lot of people suffered some awful things in history. You know, millions did. So, and I believe that God sustained them through them all. That's the testimony that we have of the heroic death of the martyrs in history. And so you want to prepare yourself, you know, read Fox's Book of Martyrs, read the History of Protestantism by James A. Wiley, you know, and learn to empathize with those that you're reading of. And while you're reading, you just pray for the strength that if you have to suffer that, that God, that you'll have the soundness of mind and heart and spirit to endure that, and that, you know, that your help will be from the Almighty. You know, we have the testimony in Scripture itself of the martyr Stephen, who said, I mean, he was being stoned to death. They were piling rocks on him, big rocks. Okay? But what did he see? He says, he sees the heavens opened up and the Son of Man, you know, in his power, appearing in his power. At his death. So he wasn't worried about what was happening to his body. He was already gone. As they were piling more rocks on him, and his, you know, mortal flesh finally expired. And then you have the testimony of all the martyrs throughout all the ages, the testimonies that we have, and how heroic, how marvelous to know that the Almighty was with them in their final hour, taking away all pain, while they sang hymns or testified of the love of God and love toward their fellow man who was burning them at the stake at that very hour. Yeah. See, that's the mind that we need to put on. You know, fill your heart, your mind, your with the Word of God. Read the Gospels, read the epistles. And you know, pray to the Almighty to have mercy on you, that you could be one of his elect and obtain eternal life through Christ Jesus. And then read the story of the martyrs, because we are coming into a dark time. Yeah. Yeah, Mercury Fall, he says, Jesuit Fiend, you're building the Jesuits into a super godly enemy. Well, they are an enemy, but we tremble not for him. Yeah, and that's what Martin Luther wrote in that great hymn. We tremble not for the Antichrist. Yeah, he's great in the world. He's big. It is frightening when you see what's coming on the earth, and we've lived in a free land. You know, it's frightening, but, you know, we fear God more. Yeah, and we love God more. That nothing could part us from him. You know, not life or death or torture or anything at all. Doesn't matter what we have to go through. Well, we can't underestimate the enemy, because those people kind of living on a cloud thinking that nothing's ever going to, that, you know, that God will not allow the enemy to overtake them. They haven't read history. Have you read your Bible? Have you read what happened to all the prophets? To your Lord himself, who laid down his life and told all of his apostles that all of them would do likewise, have to lay down their life for the gospel? And we should be willing, because what are we laying down our life for? Our best life isn't here. There's nothing to preserve here but trouble. Remember the psalm I read? In the beginning, we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. Yeah, we need to repent. For all our days are passed away in wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. Yes, for the days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. for it is soon cut off and we fly away. That's our life now. It's not our best life. If you're out there trying to get your best life now because you think that's all there is, you don't have the faith to see beyond the grave, to believe in the resurrection of the dead, well, then you better get your best life now. And you better capitulate to keep your money and your digits and your property and your houses and your riches and the glory of your mortal life. Because the strength of it is labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Yeah, but where are you flying away to? I know where I'm going, the resurrection. By the blood of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, I'll be standing there with all of his, with all of the elect on that day. And either that day is when he comes, if I'm still here and I'm changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye, which is, like I said, if it's unlikely, if it's going to be 2055, but it could happen. I just pray to God to give me the strength to stand that long and the sound mind that I can still work and for him and preach his word if I live to be that old. If not, take me, you know. And if martyrdom is the way to go, if we have another dark age coming, and I see it coming. I see the night coming, so I'm working while it is yet day, while I can still work here and preach his word. I'm going to do it as long as I can. If I can't do it on the internet here, then I'll do it out on the street there. And if they eventually catch up with me and convict me of heresy or whatever crime they can drum up against me and put me to death, then, you know, if I can be accounted worthy to die like my master, a martyr's death, then that will be the glory of my mortal life, will be the final moments, because it'll be the only thing that I've ever done right. Because I have no illusions about who I am and what I am, but I have faith in what I will be, and my best life is yet to come. It is in the resurrection. My eyes are fixed on that prize, and nothing can tear me away from it. There is nothing anyone could offer that I would trade it for, because all of this is perishing and is soon cut off, and we fly away. Okay, I'm going to go into our final break here, and we'll come back with the segment. I'll check the chat room, see if you got any questions, comments. Certainly would like to hear from you. So go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Make sure you press the follow button. That way you get a notice when I'm going live on the air or anything else that I post. And like I said, let's do it while it's day, because the night is coming when the internet will go dark for all true Bible believers. Yeah, because you'll need the mark of the beast to get on it. It's coming. I've been saying that for 20 years. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give.
If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition. The rest of this week, we're going through Proverbs. And sometime next week or thereafter, we will get back to our Protestant history and the Waldensian era. Very interesting, lively. You'll enjoy that. Let's see. WW in the chat room. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Who is that in the chat room? I just answered somebody there. And I thought it was, or this thing is moving really fast. Didn't I write something in the chat room? I did during the break. Okay, I guess I didn't, because I typed something and it didn't go in there. Am I in here? Let me see if I can do something in this chat room. Send? Oh, I am there. Oh, WW, it's because he said that the video is from last week in the browser. You have to refresh your browser in the chat room if if it has last week's show in it. Raw milk, yeah, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, last week we had a problem with the chat room. It turns out that they were moving my website from on the server. They were moving it to a new server during the broadcast. So all of the posts that I put in before the broadcast showed up again after the broadcast. So that's why we were having trouble last week in the chat room. But as you can see, everything's back to normal this week. But yeah, don't forget to refresh your browser if you just get in the chat room, and it's still last week's. Yeah. You're welcome, WW. He said it worked. Okay. Enough of tech talk there. You're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And it's been a good broadcast. I like to pray before I get these. And God gave me the right verses for today, Psalm 90. And I'll read it again for you. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Yeah, life, that's what our life is. It's labor and it's sorrow. But even that labor is a gift from God. I like to think of it that way. People, I work for everything I have. Well, God gave you the labor to work with. Yeah. So where's your pride now? Yeah. For all our days are passed away in wrath, and we spend our years as a tale that is told. Yes, it's a tale that is told. We read a lot of history here. There's a lot of tales to tell. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. His mercy is great. Okay, we have any comments or questions in the chat room? People refuse to shed their vain pride. It will burst in their bubble if it means that their worldview can be changed to align with the whole truth. Yes, amen to that. It may save their earthly flesh long enough to seek the Lord Jesus Christ on their own. Yeah. Okay. All is vexation of spirit. Yes, we're getting to the vanity of vanities. And it, yeah, that's this life. And, you know, and I thank God for the trouble and the hardship and the sorrow and the loneliness, the pain, the suffering that comes in this life. Why? Why would I thank God for those things? Because it makes me realize that my best life is not now, that it's to come in the resurrection. It keeps my eyes fixed on the prize. You know, when Paul was talking about his thorn in the flesh, that's what he was talking about. Yeah, we need a thorn in our flesh. Our flesh is a thorn. You know, our corrupting, dying, getting old and withering away flesh. It's a thorn, man. But all things work together for good to those that love God. Yeah, even that. You know, even getting old and you know, watching yourself slowly fade away, you know, marching off to the grave. Yeah. What? He's promised us eternal life through Christ Jesus with a new body that will never grow old, never get sick, and we will be totally healed. And yes, we will be more beautiful than we ever were in our mortal flesh. So all of you that all of you that love beauty, and who doesn't, you know? Yes, God made us to love beauty, but we have to realize that the most beautiful is yet to come, and we can only grasp it by faith. So grasp it and hold on to it and don't let it go. You know, read God's word, read the Gospels, read the epistles, and learn to walk in his ways on the narrow way that leads to life. Yes, Mercury Falls' pain and suffering was the only thing that could pry me from the world system and flee to Christ. Yeah, me too, man. You know, fear, the fear of God. What would happen to me if I didn't obey him, if I continued to walk astray and wander without following him? I feared God. I saw what happened to other people. I read in his book what happens to those that hate him. Because, you know, a lot of people say they love God, but are you following him? Do you obey him? Then you don't really love him if you do not. If he is not the most important thing in your life. If you don't love him more than you love your mother, your father, your wife, your sister, your brother, your children, life itself. He says, if you don't love me more, you're not worthy of me. If you're not willing to lay down your life for me, you're not worthy of me. Yeah, that's hard. You think, I could never do that. Well, yeah, I agree. We could never do that. Not in our own strength. Let's see, Hugh says, in J. Wiley's history, The Waldenses, it recounts how they violently and often successfully defended themselves with arms against papal invading killers. Do you think they did the right thing? I think defense is a right thing to do. And if you can defend yourself, you should. And if you have to die defending yourself, you haven't sinned. You know, at least it's not a sin in itself. No, I guess it all gets down to motivation. You're defending your life, your family, your children, you know. You're defending life. Thou shalt not kill, you know. It implies the preservation of life. It's a commandment. Do you think they did the right thing? Yes. Is pacifism still the Christ-like thing to do when they're coming for you, for your family? Well, you know, there comes a point where fighting is pointless. And the willingness to lay down your life for those that are coming to kill you. Because, you know, Jesus prayed for those that were at his stake or at his crucifixion. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In other words, he's saying, don't hold this to their account. If they repent, may they repent and come to you. You know, that's the mind of Christ. And there comes a point where, you know, that would gladly lay down our life for Christ and be a witness for him even at the point of our death. So, you know, you just have to walk in the Spirit and God will lead you whatever way he wants you to go. If it's to fight or to flee, because it's not, you know, cowardly to flee, because it can be a wise thing to flee, you know. It's flight or fight. You know, that's your choice. Flight or fight or lay down your life. How about F. Tupper Saucy's book, Did the Real Christians Fight the American Revolution? Well, I'm sure that there were some that fought in the American Revolution. Of course, those moving behind the scenes, the machinations, you know, even the most evil, even the Jesuits are accomplishing the will of God. At the same time, they're accomplishing, you know, the wiles of their master, be it the Antichrist, the man of sin, or Satan himself. But they've all fallen into God's plan to work out his will and his purpose for this creation. And his purpose and will for us in his creation is that I call men everywhere to repent. Be baptized. Yeah. And I don't think he was just talking about the sign of baptism, the ceremony of baptism. I think he was talking about a spiritual baptism, you know, being cleansed of your sins, going under the flood and coming up clean in the blood of Jesus. That's the true baptism. The guy on the cross didn't have time to go to a ritual baptism, but he was baptized. Yeah. He was baptized in the blood of Christ. That's the true baptism. So it's a great book. I think he goes off into a tangent at the end there with the Cain and Abel thing, and especially with the Cain thing. But you know, I would take it with a grain of salt, or I would take it parabolically as a parable, you know, because it's applicable as a parable, but as a reality, it's not literal. I wouldn't take it literally. But the rest of the book and, you know, useful information about governing authorities, the rulers of evil, it's one of the great books. Satan hates it. You can't buy a new copy of it today, can you? Well, fortunately, we have PDFs out there. And like I said, if you want to read that, you should read it if you're interested in prophecy and what's really been going on behind the scenes in America. F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil. I have a link there. On the, you click on the Bible, Bible tab or Bible Studies tab, and you'll see a list of resources there. And Rulers of Evil will be listed in those resources. So, interesting book. I've read it through twice now. I've listened to Tom read it a couple times. I have a link. I think there's a link on firstamendmentradio.com or .net homepage where you can have it narrated to you by Tom. And you know, you can, you know how to put YouTube on your stupid device so you can listen to it while you're working. And that way you don't have to read the book yourself. You can have Tom read it to you and give you some pretty good commentary. And Tom's quite entertaining. As a matter of fact, I think he's much more entertaining than I am, to tell you the truth. I wish I had his talent for speaking and narrating. Yeah, I do. Let's see. Lulu printing at cost is useful for the time being for those that prefer hard copies for reference, research, and etc. Yeah, you can get a Lulu account and you can submit any PDF for private printing. You can't sell them because then they'll come after you. But you could likely, you know, print one privately. But yeah, and that's all I'm going to say about that, because people who would, you know, try to print it and make money on it, yeah, they'd just ruin that for all the rest of us. So we don't want evil people doing that. Plus, evil people, I guess they need to read Rulers of Evil to find out what they love. Yeah, maybe they could walk away from it if they could see it clearly. But God's Word is better than Rulers of Evil and all of those other things out there. So make sure you're reading more of God's Word than everything else. Or at least listening. You can listen daily on First Amendment Radio. We have some good Reformed, theologically Reformed teachers out there. And what is that program called that we run for an hour every day? Renewing Your Mind with, yeah, you know, you've listened. Good teaching there. I go through the Bible or history or prophecy on my broadcast, but it's pretty much Bible-centered, so you can do that too. Or you can just listen to the Bible. You can get Bible apps for your stupid phone and listen to them there, you know. I think we're all, God's people, are going to have to have burners or get rid of their stupid devices sooner or later, yeah. Because the track and tracing thing, yeah. Yeah, that's what you see in the movie, all the, you know, the intrigue of movies where they use burner phones to do this and that and all that. Yeah, it's shame. It's shameful that we have to do that kind of stuff in the darkness to come, but we may have to do that. Let's see. Oh, I don't know. Your name and where you're calling from. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I'm going to have to learn how to turn this thing off so it doesn't ring during the broadcast. Since nobody's calling in. Yeah. Let's see. Do you think they did the right thing? PayPal equals PayPal. No, let's not play the word game. You know, that's silliness, man. You know, hey, sounds like, looks like, whatever. They get some very famous heathens that play the word game and suck in a lot of people by playing word games. Yeah, but most of what they're just liars, so... But yeah, it's a curious thought, but I'll let it go at that. Okay, burner phones. Yeah, burner phones. Yeah, many already do. Okay, let's see. I'm just not... Yeah, okay. Well, I'm getting worn out here at the end of the hour. So I'm going to read that once again to you, our word for the day. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. It tells us a lot about time. You know, a lot of people try to figure out the conundrum. Oh, where do we go when we die? Do we sleep in the grave? Or is there an amillennial intermediate state where we hang out with Jesus in the clouds in the ethereal realm and rule over the world until he comes for the figurative millennium? Okay, I was trying to figure out, you know, well, gosh, they must be there in the grave. What are they doing? Whiling away the hours. No. It's 1,000 years, but it's yesterday when it is past. It doesn't matter. What about all those people? Okay, let's say you had people that died in the first century in Christ, and they've been hanging out with Jesus in the, you know, disembodied ethereal realm, ruling in the amillennial intermediate state for all these millennium, waiting for the resurrection. While us, you know, I might die 10 years from now, and then I have like 30 years. What about all the years in the past that I missed? Do I have to relive those too? No. The timeline is only for the living, for those that are in this creation and living in it. It's nothing. It's yesterday. The 1,000 years is as yesterday when it is past. And so will be if I die tomorrow, and it's another, you know, 30, 35 years to the resurrection. It'll be like yesterday. It's nothing. It's nothing to be concerned about. You know, think about time travel. We all get the concept. We love the movies. You know, it's always very entertaining, but we can entertain the idea. So it's kind of like that. Bam, when I die, you know, I'll be there at the resurrection. As a matter of fact, I think we're all going to arrive at the same time. We appear for a while, you know, but like grass, we're cut down. It doesn't say that we hang around in our dead bodies sleeping and waiting, or go off to some amillennial intermediate ethereal state of being that is nowhere found in the scripture. It's only conjectured out of a few verses that are basically symbolic. You know, they want to make the whole chapter 20 symbolic, but then when it comes to those verses, oh, well, that's literal. Yeah, well, they're clearly symbolic. And they want to hang their hat on that. Oh, yes, my new book. If you haven't read it yet, it is Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, An Apology for Reformed Premillennial Historicism in the 21st Century. If you're interested in prophecy at all, whether you're on my side, on the historicist side, or no matter what side you're on, you're going to want to read this book, either to confirm it or to refute it. And if you want to refute it, you come on my broadcast, and I'll treat you like the Son of God, the brother in Christ that you are, while we discuss it, okay? Hey, I mean that too. Or I'll go on your broadcast if you're willing to follow a few rules. Yes, like to be fair, no ad hominem attacks or anything like that. You know, we act like Christian men, like godly men in our discussions. But yeah, I can't, it's hard to find anyone that'll debate me on anything. Yeah, I think they're all afraid of overthrowing their what they've already established in their works. And I can say that I have nothing that I am unwilling to overthrow with the truth in anything I've done. Yeah. And I would gladly declare it if it happened. Gladly. I'd come out with a new edition to change what I've done. And I would tell everyone about it. Because that's what the man of God, and God's prophet, God's teacher does. That's what we do. So, okay. So, and if you've read my book already, so I know some of you have, I have no reviews on Amazon yet. And it's been out since September 30th, I believe, or was it August 30th, one of those months. And haven't got any reviews yet. But I know that hundreds of copies have got into the hands of people out there. So I'm hoping I can get some good reviews, challenging reviews, I don't care, just so they're honest. And that way, you know, I can see what people are thinking about it. Okay, you've been listening to Cross the Border. This has been a Prophecy Reality Edition. My name's Nicholas Arthur. Please go to my website, press the follow button there, share the post there on your whatever Gab, Twitter, Facebook, whatever you got. Email them to your friends and your family, and invite people. When you follow me, you'll get a post. I usually do it within the hour before the broadcast. Maybe you could have a watch party or something. And call your friends and tell them to watch the live broadcast and to join you in the chat room. And maybe we can get the word out there further. But I'm very happy. I'm just so honored and pleased that my Heavenly Father allows me to do this every week and to work for Him throughout the week in the work I do here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com and my personal ministry website, crosstheborder.org, and the prophecy, the books, the narrations, and the Bible studies, and working with all the fine people that contribute to the work that we're doing at FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Well, may the Almighty bless you and keep each and every one of you as you walk on the narrow way that leads to life. We'll see you next time.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn, the Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a re-established Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13?